I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 16 in the playoffs. We're here to talk to you about all the players that you can pick up if, oh my Lord, you have to make these decisions with that roster that you've constructed. You still might have to hit the waivers in these very, very important fantasy times. So we're here to help. I'm Chris Welsh, your host today. You can find me at Is It The Welsh. That is Jake Seeley, the all-in kid with all the makings and the fixings of everything you want in fantasy, from waivers to ranks, that you're still doing into week 16. Applaud to you, Jake, because this is definitely the time where that stuff can waver. And like week 16, plenty of places are not going to have waivers and ranks and all of that still out. But sure enough, midnight hit into Tuesday and the waivers was available over on The Athletic.
And yeah, it's funny. Was that you doing it on purpose? The things might waver. Was that a pun intended?
Waver. Like a dad joke? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you might. And there might be some people that good old Funston, as we argued, we did with him. I've been arguing with him before you have about playing that final week of the season for those insane leagues. And, you know, he wants to keep playing. Have a one off week. Do it. Play DFS. I don't know. Do one draft for fun. But people still need pickups. And honestly, we had more injuries. So that's what happens. I advanced in flex. In my rematch, I stomped Rick Wolf and Glenn Colton, but I lost Keaton Mitchell and who was the wide receiver I lost? It wasn't Jamar Chase we were talking about. I lost. I go back and look. I forget. I legitimately lost two people out of my lineup.
Was it Pittman?
No, because Pittman's not. Pittman should be okay.
He could be okay. Yeah, it's been. We went from this concussion protocol.
Oh, Zach Moss. Oh. He's going to try to potentially play through it.
Well, it might not matter because Jonathan Taylor might be back.
I know. Taylor might be back and might not matter. So, yeah, as of right now, my two fill-ins are double tight end with Isaiah Likely and Chris Rodriguez as of right now.
I mean, just how we planned it. So you might need to be hitting the waiver wire. You actually got some players that we're going to be talking about here, but there might be some out there. I do think when we float into this, there are a couple players that warrant not just like, oh, hey, I had some really bad injury, but you might want to pick these players up and you might want to insert them in the lineup over some bigger names. Like one of the top wide receiver we're going to talk about here in a little bit. I mean, like Terry McLaurin, like unless Jacoby Brissett apparently is the quarterback, I might start this top waiver guy we're picking up here over Terry McLaurin next week, if you still made it, of course. So we'll talk about all those guys who made it in the article. If you want to check it out, make sure you go and get a subscription over at The Athletic. You can get the app. You can check out all the amazing articles, and you will have access to Jake's ranks, to the waiver wires that can help you in the playoffs, and definitely something you need to keep into consideration going into the season. There is some news. We're doing the episode on Tuesday, so you know a little bit of the news has simmered. You insinuated one of them. We officially confirmed, or you said one of them. We confirmed Keaton Mitchell, gone. Looked like a hyperextended knee, and it was a torn ACL. So he is out for the season, and it goes back to Gus Edwards' time. And that might be one of those where people are reeling and needing to hit the waiver wires, because Keaton Mitchell was floating in that RB2 range, Jake.
He was, and it was kind of more, say, RB2 big league. Mostly an RB3 that you're shooting for that top 12 upside, but could be that handful of touches doesn't even get him as that RB3. So I would say RB3, but point being is he was usable. I just used him in flex with a double flex league. So now with no him, excuse me, we're going to talk about, I mean, we could just do it right now, but yeah, Gus Edwards goes back to being like, yeah, you're RB2, probably going to score a touchdown. But Justice Hill comes into play. We talked, you and I, a few weeks ago about that stupid Justice Hill goal line carry when I was hoping for the Gus Edwards one. So it comes into, do you need a running back? Like if Justice Hill's out there for me, no Zach Moss, no Keaton Mitchell, I'd start him. I mean, you might need him.
You might legit have to. Also, probably little plug for doing multi-flex leagues, because then you might not have to start a running back. You could put somebody else in. There's some better wide receivers
unless
out
you lost
there.
Those too.
Unless you also lost, unless you're Jake, unless you literally lost everybody and you are just beholden to the wire. Other news as far as injuries go, we haven't got anything confirmed, but it's being reported around that Ja'Marr Chase is likely to miss some time. And what it's mounting up to is like, he's not going to play this week. I think that's the big thing. And, you know, you're going to take him out of lineup, hurts Jake Browning a little bit, but it's going to give a boost to clearly T. Higgins, but also somebody you noted in here is Tyler Boyd. Like, you're going to boost up Tyler Boyd. I think Irwin kind of jumps into conversation as well. When he's been given opportunity, when one of those guys have been out, he's thrived a little bit on big plays, but Tyler Boyd is going to move up.
Well, Tyler Boyd's a big one also because Jake Browning throws 3 yards at a time. Like, we joke Joe Flacco for the longest time and other quarterbacks like him, but Jake Browning, I mean, he just doesn't throw down a field, throw to running backs half the time, and then everything's short, and it was why his completion percentage is so high, which means Tyler Boyd. I mean, Higgins, we saw last week, can perform with, you know, whether or not Browning has that style, but Tyler Boyd would be the easy pick here, mostly because Irwin has in the past. But as I noted in the waivers, and you go down to 12 before you even get to it, it could be Isuvas. Eosivas. I can't even say, like, anyway, point being, Andre. We'll call him Andre. Andre was actually in front of Irwin by a big margin in routes and snaps after Chase left. Now, I alluded to it in the article, or actually not alluded, I just said it. It could be similar to the A.T. Perry situation when Michael Thomas got hurt. He just happened to be the one who stepped up mid-game. And maybe they go back to Irwin next week, but that it's week 16. Like, this would be a deep flyer in case something surprises us, and then maybe you play him in week 17 if somebody, T. Higgins, also gets hurt. But I'm not counting on either one of them just because we don't know how that's going to shake out. They might have started moving to Andre for the future.
Some roster moves. We just said it's trending in a direction that we might see Jonathan Taylor. This comes on the heels of Zach Moss getting banged up. And Trey Sermon having a really good week while Zach Moss was out. And it probably puts some question into the viability of even taking a shot on Trey Sermon. I'm probably not. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to go. But if he doesn't and Zach Moss is banged up, that's where we would end up talking about Trey Sermon. I mean, we'll just do it here. As noted, is Trey Sermon ended up being number 3 on your running back list. And I think number 1 is kind of a clear-cut guy. Number 2, when we get to it, is conditional. And Trey Sermon is conditional. But for him to make it this high up, it's pretty impressive. We know they're going to run the ball. But this is conditional on A, Jonathan Taylor not playing, and B, Zach Moss not playing.
And it also comes down to number 4 right behind him as his teammate. It's Sermon and Goodson back-to-back. I'll go to the Irwin Andre situation, and the fact that you would assume it's Sermon. I'm assuming it would be Sermon. He was the one that's been active. He's out there, and then they've finally elevated Goodson, but they both look good. They both looked really good in that game. The problem is why they're back-to-back is because they're both out there and used about just as much in the passing game, and overall, it was the slightest of edges of Sermon to Goodson. Honestly, this was more of a share than we see from Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, so if it's out there in straight 50-50, wouldn't shock me. I would give the slight edge to Sermon just because he's been active for longer. But as you also mentioned, Moss has already said that he wants to play through it, whether or not that happens, and Jonathan Taylor could return. So it might be, can we do like the flow chart graph on the side? It might be irrelevant. If Jonathan Taylor plays and Zach Moss is out, you know, maybe Sermon's a little bit desperation play, like as an RB4, just because we've seen before when Jonathan Taylor came back and Zach Moss was doing his thing earlier this year, they eased Taylor in. Now, obviously, if it's no Zach Moss, they're not going to be like, well, let's give Sermon a 60% and Taylor 40. But Sermon could become a desperation. So I would take the flyer on Sermon just because this could break 15 different ways. And obviously, the one, if both of those are out, then I think that Sermon and Goodson would both be RB3s. I would not put either one of them in the RB2 conversation, though, just because we do not know for sure how that's going to shake out.
It's been a lot. It definitely is like a build-your-own-adventure. It's like, it could go this path. It could go this
go
path.
Go to page 73.
Exactly. We wish we could skip ahead, but we just can't. The only other piece of news that we're going to note here is the Falcons and all the fun that they are have benched Ridder again, and Taylor Heinicke is going to start week 16 against those Colts that we were talking about. So take that for whatever you want it is. I don't expect Arthur Smith and that offense to have a turn face and be like, oh, how embarrassing, we didn't feature Bijan again, and then just turn back and feature him extensively. I just think it'll be a big cluster mess. And I think the best piece of advice, if you have the ability, is don't start any Falcon next week. I don't know if you feel differently about Bijan. Ah, he's first round, you keep going, blah, blah, blah. If I had the option, I just think it could be disastrous. Also, who the hell is still in the playoffs if you had Bijan? That's probably the more appropriate piece of this. But Heinicke doesn't do anything for anybody, doesn't help anybody. And I imagine you agree, but maybe you don't.
I think a slight uptick, just because we know he'll throw more than Ritter will, and maybe slightly more on target at times. As we saw that wonderful interception from Ritter last week, but Ritter's had a 300-yard game. I don't think it's a big gap difference. And so, yeah, slight uptick, maybe like Drake London more viable against the Colts. It's a good matchup, which is the problem. This is where you're going to get sucked. There's no way, if you survive, there's no way on earth you're benching Bijan Robinson. Like, there's not. Like, you can't. This is not going to happen.
You probably don't have the viable options.
And that's the thing. Like, how far are you going to push down Bijan Robinson even coming off that game? Because it's happened before earlier this year. So this isn't the first time we've been gobsmacked by freaking Arthur Smith, which, by the way, like, there's no way he's coaching this team next year, right? Like, unless Arthur Blank has just been checked out the entire year and, I don't know, watching the Hawks basketball team instead. Like, there is no way on earth.
They say, like, oh, yeah, he's good for 2024. And then there's a report today that's like, he might still be good if they don't make the playoffs. And it's like, what are we talking about?
I have no idea. And this isn't coming from the fantasy perspective. You cannot tell me Arthur Smith has been doing a good job. Like, this team had the easiest division of football to win and then still had it within their grasp. And you fall apart and lose to the Panthers, who, that's their second win of the season. And this is a coach that should be brought back next year. Forget the fantasy aspect of it. Just watch this team. This is, how different is this than Nathaniel Hackett or Matt Nagy? Or, like, it's just, put them in the same conversation. Done. Enough. Anyway, point being, you're starting Bijan Robinson. You're probably starting Drake London. You can't ignore what happened 2 weeks ago. It's against the Colts. And tight end, I mean, I'm in a conversation right now in the CBS IDP League, which I got no help from Scott Bogman this year. This is like, and yet I'm in first place. Scott, I know. I did use his rankings. So what it comes down to here is I had Dalton Kincaid, but somebody dropped Pitts 2 weeks ago, and I picked up Pitts during the Buffalo bye. And after what Kincaid just came off last week, and the fact that Dawson Knox is kind of ruining things, I might actually be starting Kyle Pitts, a tight end. So you say all that, but I think it could matter.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you for that. I guess, like, what I'm saying at the end of the day, because it doesn't apply to everybody, but it's like what Arthur Smith does in this offense, you go like, you're like, hey, we're just not going to not start Bijan. And it's like, well, it's a question. That's what his offense and the usage of Bijan has put out there. It is a question. Now, nobody has, like you're saying, probably nobody has any good options to turn to get him out of a lineup. But it's like, yeah, he could go off, but he could also get 8 touches again and a fumble and get, you know, 3 points for you in your playoffs. A decent reason why people probably didn't move on to this round. And that's what stinks. Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, what's so funny is that you could have legitimately had a squad that you could have never drafted, ever. But you could have started, you could have had Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, and Derrick Henry. And you're not advancing. I don't care what your wide receivers did. You're not advancing with those three after last
week. You know
what?
I would rather have what happened to Derrick Henry to me than Bijan Robinson. And that might sound stupid or whatever, but like.
Or even Barkley. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I would rather get my volume and usage and it fail me, then 8 touches and not get any of that volume and no opportunity.
Speaking of the running backs, just sidebar real quick. I'm so happy my sabotage drop finally worked of Najee Harris. It took forever, but it happened at the best time. Well, they've been because I dropped him, and that's when he went on this run, and he was scoring touchdowns every single week. And back to the Najee Harris we liked at the second half of last year. And I'm like, son of a, like, seriously, like, finally let you go, dude. And this is what, and then first round of the playoffs,
Trojan
horse. Wow. Yeah, that's like, it's the longest Trojan horse of all time. They left that thing in front of the gate for like 3 months, but
you were playing the long, you were playing the long game. That's all you were doing. Trojan horse, it, you got it. The playoffs, I love it. So running backs, let's talk about some of those that you put in this article that you can check over at The Athletic. This is one, the top one is one, and again, I might be making a whole lot about nothing here to your point with the Colts, but it's like Ty Chandler makes it at the top. If Madison is out and Chandler is a top guy, do you think it is a slam dunk 10 out of 10 that you start Bijan over Ty Chandler next week?
If Madison's not, back, absolutely.
No, I'm sorry. If Madison's like out and it's just Ty Chandler with what he did in that volume, you think it's an absolute slam? From a talent perspective,
no,
sure.
We love Bijan. You should have the conversation.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. But he is your number one.
I still couldn't bench Bijan Robinson for Ty Chandler, but if...
Yeah, I couldn't sleep.
Put it this way. Like I would say, like I would tell people, what I tell people a lot of times is if you trust your gut, like go for it. Like I'm not 100%. We can't be 100%. We're predicting sports. If I told you last week, I mean, hell, I said Singletary, start Singletary of Bijan Robinson, people would have wanted me fired. And yet, there you go. Mm-hmm. I could have picked up backup running backs and been like, start them over Bijan Robinson. People are like, you're the dumbest person in the history forever. And I mean, start Matt Breida over Bijan Robinson. You got more points last week.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And by the way, you'd have owned them all. You'd have owned them all. And no matter what you would have said, people would still be saying that. So let's point that out. But to your point is people would be crying a foul for sure. But then let's just talk about
it. I'm not going to say you're wrong. Put it that way. I will never say you're wrong to start. If there's no Madison and you want to start Chandler over Bijan, I will not say it's the wrong move. I wouldn't do it, but it's not wrong.
Then let's just talk about Chandler as a whole here. And it really, it's hard to count like how long we're going to have to wait for the news on Madison, if he's going to play or not. This could come down to the wire. But if Chandler is without Madison, what do you think he's going to be valued RB-wise? Is this going to be RB2?
He'll still be an RB2. I'm kind of trying to scan the schedule right now. Probably top 20, maybe even a little bit better. Like, I still don't trust or believe that any given week that the Texans are going to turn back to Damian Pierce. Plus, even if they don't, Singletary is facing the Browns. So I'd play him over him. Even if Brian Robinson is back, that actually makes that more of a cluster against the Jets. And I know it's easier to run on the Jets, but there's not a single Commanders running back I would start over him, no matter if Brian Robinson is playing or not. And that's where I'm kind of like looking at here. If Jonathan Taylor's not back and it's Zach Moss, I'd actually go Chandler because I know he's healthy over Zach Moss, trying to play through that and the risk associated there. So might be pushing top 15 as I'm scanning. Like, you know, I'm not going to go through every single player, but I could see him being in the top 15 if there is no Madison. And the good news is you find out it's a 1 p.m. game, so we get that clear. There's only 6 teams that plays before that, and that's Kamara, Kyren, both Joe Mixon, and then James Cook. Done. What it comes down to is I think the other ones. I would start them over both Steelers running backs if there's no Madison, but we're not going to potentially know. And if there is no Madison, over Austin Eckler. I don't even know if Austin Eckler's like, how much do they use him? Does he even play this week? Does Keenan Allen come back for the rest of the year? I had Austin Eckler not even inside an RB1 conversation last week. People said I was crazy. Wouldn't again. I don't even know if I would have Austin Eckler inside the top 20 this week.
I have him in both leagues that I'm still alive in, which is crazy. And one of them is a 16 team dynasty. And he's like, obviously a core piece. And I got James Conner and, somebody good on the bench, and I'm completely forgetting who it is, but it's like I think I have to sit him out. I don't think I can, though. I'm optimistic that
James Conner gets the Bears.
I know, but when you make big changes, I have this optimism like, oh, you're going to just go back to your workhorse in Austin Eckler, but they might be done. They just might not go there. So Eckler makes it really tough. The thing on Ty Chandler, just to add, he's going up against the Lions. Lions on the year giving up the least fantasy points to running backs over the last month, the fourth. So that's an extra little added running backs have thrived in the passing game against the Lions, but that might be where they have to turn to. So the matchup isn't great compared to even some of these other options where they might be a little bit better. Conditional number two for your second running back is Zamir White. And this is a simple, if Josh Jacobs is out, Zamir White is going to be boosted up. So you need to own him in case that happens, but he can't be your 100% fallback option.
And he's behind Ty Chandler if both are out. And that's because that was a game script nobody expected. And against Kansas City, they were already using Brandon Bolden and Amir Abdullah. And, you know, it's like just if they fall behind, I don't know that Zamir White doesn't necessarily touch the ball only 40% of the time. And against the Chiefs, that would be my fear. So he would be behind. You know, no Josh Jacobs. He'd probably be still in the RB2 conversation, but he'd be on the low end.
So it ranks Chandler, Zamir White, Trey Sermon. Every single one of them is forms of condition. Ty Chandler, still the least. If Madison comes back, it may not matter. The other two, Trey Sermon, Zamir White, Tyler Goodson as well, you kind of threw in there. The last three, you mentioned Justice Hill. You got Roschon Johnson and Chris Rodriguez. When you had Tyler Goodson above them, isn't like the second running back in an already conditional situation. Like if you needed somebody this week, you're going to prioritize Hill, even Chris Rodriguez, most likely over him, aren't you?
Not Chris Rodriguez. Even if you're just hoping he falls into the end zone.
Yeah. I mean, he got some volume, but
you got to make this call before we probably find out. That's the thing. And I'm not going to Justice Hill. Sure. Justice Hill, you kind of like straddle the fence and kind of say like, I know he's going to have value no matter what. Over Sermon, that's the tough one because, you know, if they're both out, I'm probably going to go Sermon over Hill just for the usage in that backfield and being uncertain with Justice Hill, you know, like, does he get that goal line opportunity at all this week? So I think it just comes down to, you're going to have to decide for your team, as you just said, like, where do you see yourself coming towards the end of the week? Like, what do you need? So yeah, I could see that one, but not over the Goodson one. I could definitely see going Justice Hill either way, but that's, again, these ranks are, the explanation is there. This is, they're up where they are on the upside if there is no Taylor and no Zach Moss.
Side note too, Ravens have the 49ers. So again, that's another available running back.
It doesn't seem to be as much of a problem anymore, mostly because they're putting up so many damn points that the other team gets the opportunity to keep.
Yeah. The defense is definitely played down, and they let the Cardinals run on them a whole lot. And I could see a very similar script, but just beware that, you know, it's a defense that can shut down that side of the game, but it won't shut down Lamar Jackson. Like if it shuts down the running backs, both of those backs, I mean, I guess Gus and Justice Hill share some characteristics with like James Conner. I feel like there's a certain type of back that gets to the 49ers and it's not those guys, but you know what? James Conner just did. So you never know. So that's what the running backs look like, who might be the number one waiver in general this week. Going over to wide receivers, Noah Brown.
Two. Alexander Madison, it's clearly Chandler. If the other running backs are, if all the running backs are back, if just one of the Colts, Madison's back, Jacobs is back, both the top two wide receivers are the top picks.
Easy. Yeah. And then if they're all out, it's hard to argue that you're going to have the starting running back on the other side, so it probably needs. But the point being that Noah Brown, led the Texans, took over that Tank Dell role. He was targeted heavily with a really bad quarterback, not even with the good version of one of theirs. And the target shares were high, and he performed at a wide receiver two level. He's, I think, a wide receiver three this coming week, and he hits the very tippy top here. So if you had a flex spot open and you needed a body and you're not going to get the news on Ty Chandler, are you going to take the shot risking that it's him or Noah Brown? Who are you going to put the claim in on, knowing you're not going to have an answer before waivers run?
If Ty Chandler somehow is still out there,
Chandler and Noah.
I go Noah Brown. And let's bring up, I'd bring go Joshua Palmer too. I don't even care. Like, I don't even care. Nico Collins and Keenan Allen are back. These are both the opportunities that have been, honestly, can we just huffy face emoji this show? Like, just like, talking about, time and time, Noah Brown and Joshua Palmer, for everybody out there listening, hopefully they're not on waivers because you listened. Like, it's just, I know Noah Brown wasn't usable because he kept not being able to play and Joshua Palmer hadn't returned, but again, the upside continued to be like the upside when Noah Brown wasn't able to return was Tank Dell was already out at that point. Joshua Palmer was, he's clearly the number two if he can ever come back. And now we just saw both of them as the ones, which would be wide receiver ones if it's just them. And, you know, matchups be damned, you know, okay, they're both top 20, put it that. C.J. Stroud, no C.J. Stroud, still top 20. If, you know, the other two aren't back. If they're both back, they're still, as you just said, they're still wide receiver threes, which means they're starting in every 12-team league.
Yep, and those are the top two guys that really, regardless of where you're sitting at, you should pick them up, if even to take it away from other opponents.
Oh, yeah, please block the other person.
Yeah, if they were there. Again, these are big assumptions. A lot of leagues, a lot of people are listening. They're like, no, these guys are not available. They haven't been available for a while. But there could be some out there. Noah Brown, Josh Palmer sitting at the tippy top. There's still some huffiness going on here because we go to Curtis Samuel. That one's kind of
left to be said.
Yeah, exactly. We've spoken on that one all season long. It's just like Curtis Samuel is going to get 4 or 5 catches every single game. Some games he's going to do big stuff with them. Some games the target shares will go up. He's just safe. You know, he is 80% of what we wanted out of like Jahan Dotson, and then all the rest just disappeared. There were all the top end percentages were taken off because Dotson disappeared and Howell was weird. Did you find it weird at all, the Howell benching, with how Howell is played all season, that they just were like out of here and going Jacoby Brissett?
No, because it's kind of, I kind of likened it to like what happens in hockey sometimes. It's just sometimes you just need to go, like you just need the day off. You're having a bad day. And I mean, if there were a playoff race, I think they might have like tried to stick it through with that game. Just like, hey, Hal, let's see you actually fight through this. But sometimes you just need the mental break, like whatever it is. I mean, the dude has been sacked 8 billion times this year. Like, just, you know, just give him a rest. And I think that's all it was. I'm not worried about it. And then, you know, how quickly they already turned around and announced that he's still the starter. It just, like I said, it feels like a goalie that's just, things went wrong. Your defense, in hockey terms, wasn't helping you. His offense, the offensive line. Again, Brissett looked good when he came in. Sometimes you just give up a bunch at the beginning. You just need a mental break. You need the day off.
Pull the starting pitcher early. Get the bullpen in, and we'll take it to the next start. That's the way that
baseball
you can take
too.
A
there's
look
a good one.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do all the sports.
What's the basketball equivalent? There's really not a basketball. You start 0-for-6 from the field and just sit for the rest of the quarter.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I know. That's not.
But that's
really
the thing.
Not
you should probably
one.
Come back in. In basketball, you're not going to sit for like the rest of the game.
It would be like sitting in the fourth quarter, but that's not really the same. Yeah, there's not a good one. Baseball got it done, though. I think that got it done. Quentin Johnston comes in at number 4. This is
Allen.
Yeah, it's conditional. It's the conditional one. Keenan Allen plays a big role in this. Johnson's been playing really well, but like Josh Palmer's just another level. And we could also agree that we just don't know. You know, whenever you have like new scheme stuff or however it's going to go this week, they might want to feature Quentin Johnston. We don't know. They might completely let him disappear because Josh Palmer's back. You might see more Eckler. We don't have an idea. It's literally the worst time that you're having all these changes happen. So play it as safe as possible. But if Allen is out, you want to go there. We are huffied to Zay Jones because I imagine it is a, we've said everything we can say about Zay.
Yep. last week was, I had Parker Washington as like a wide receiver 5 sleeper because, you know, fills the Christian Kirk role, and it was working. Trevor Lawrence was getting it out to him when he needed to get it quick. 3 receptions, a whopping 6 yards. That was the problem. Like, you talk about Jake Browning, it was like throw it to Parker Washington at the line of scrimmage, and then oh, boom, tackled. So it didn't work. Zay Jones actually had a few decent catches in there, so that was the one hope. And then here's the good thing. Well, I'll add to Zay Jones, even though we have the huffy face. Look at who they get to face this week. You know?
Oh, it's the Steelers, isn't it?
No.
I'm going to look. I'm going to cheat. It is because I looked at this yesterday. Oh, yeah, it's the Bucs. They're going to secondary destroy.
If Zay Jones doesn't put up like 5 for 100 this week.
Yeah.
He should.
Zay Jones week, 100% here. The last one, and then, or actually, let me ask you, because I took Boyd out. Where did Boyd sit on this? Was Boyd under Zay Jones?
5th. No, I had.
5th. All right. So he was
I don't know that Jamar Chase plays the rest of the season. So this is, I mean, if nothing else, this feels at least a 2-week play.
All right. And then the final one here that we're going to talk about, you can check out all the names because there are a bunch more names on running backs and wide receivers. If you go and check out the article, is Dontavian Wicks, because we don't know about Christian Watson. B, Jaden Reed. was dealing with. Mm-hmm. I think it was a toe injury, and we don't know if he's going to be back. Now, I will tell you personally, I am all Tucker Kraft this week. Tucker Kraft thrived, and he's going to continue to thrive. Now, I guess if Reed and Watson are out, that puts a little bit in question. But I think a guy like Tucker Kraft is going to pick up some of the slack. And I think he's a top 10 tight end this week. He was 10% owned in Yahoo leagues on Monday. So that's going to change. But Dontavian Wicks had a nice big game, loves to scour the middle of the field. And Jordan Love is going to sling him the ball. So if both of those guys are out, I think Wicks jumps up this list. This is building in maybe one of those guys being back.
Yeah, one of those being back, if both are out, similar to the Colts situation, I wouldn't rank him in front of him, but Wicks would have a higher ceiling than Dobbs, in my opinion. So I think that's the, like, when it comes down to it, I said this on Pat Mayo's show for the ranks, we were talking ranks. If you told me talent versus talent, I'm going to take Wicks over everybody on this team versus Christian Watson. Just Watson would be the only one. I would take him over Reed. I would take him over Dobbs. It's very close to Reed, and he's clearly over Dobbs for me. Is he there yet? No. But it's that upside talent potential, and if they're both out, that's what I'm saying. This is a Wicks could finish top 20, but understand also the risk. Wicks isn't 100% refined as an NFL player yet. That's taking some time. That's where he was drafted, where he was. But if we're talking about skill set on this team and also somebody who could play outside, inside, be a number one type wide receiver, it would be Wicks for me, so that's why he's here. Like, this is an upside chase. This could go sideways, but both wide receivers out, yeah.
I like this one quite a bit. I think he's up in that Curtis Samuel range if both of those wide receivers are out. If one of them is back, it tapers down a little bit.
Well, one off week, Wicks over. Samuel's got the Jets. One off week, yeah. Wicks over. And both. If Watson and Reed are both out for this week, Green Bay against Carolina, which Carolina's defense is good, I would play Wicks over Curtis Samuel.
As would I, and they've got the Panthers. So Green Bay has got the Panthers this week. And there you go. That's what the waivers is looking like. Get your claims in. Get your $4 fab you have left in the playoffs or whatever it is that you're doing, and get those things set for those second round of the playoff rosters. And hopefully we are talking to you in the championship week. We got one more this week. We do have Brandon Funston and I looking at Jake's ranks, picking those apart. And then we taper down in week 17, but we are glad that you guys are hanging with us here. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Go to theathletic.com right now. Get yourself a subscription. Download the app so you don't miss any of it. Follow him on Twitter at @AllInKid. That's Jake Seeley. You can follow me at @IsItTheWelsh. And thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.